Just before I start, just a couple of very, very quick announcements. I'm happy to announce that as part of O2C Outreach to Community, some young people in our church will be holding an ultimate tournament next Saturday at Riverfront Park. And the information you can find on our Fraserlands Church Facebook site. It's an opportunity for you to bring friends as an outreach event, and I hope many of you will do so. This is a great opportunity to invite your friends to come. Secondly, those who have returned some of your Fraserlands founding members' mugs, while replacements have come, you can pick it up at the info counter, but please, again, do not wash them in the dishwasher or scrub them in any way. Take it, set it on the shelf, and admire it. Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, we want to give thanks for this day, for this is a day that you have made. And so let us rejoice, O Lord Jesus, in you and what will take place today because your people desire to put their faith and trust in you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you again for coming to worship our Lord this morning. It is indeed an opportunity for us each week to give glory to God. Those of you who are new to our church joining us, we welcome you to Fraserlands Church. We are doing something quite different than our normal service today. I had warned you earlier last week and even a few weeks ago and even last night on Facebook to bring comfortable shoes to wear. It's because we will be doing a prayer walk around our church today. And so let's just go straight into our message and our passage that we're going to be doing. I'll explain the rest of today's service to you as we go along. You know, I believe that the Lord has given us this land called Fraserlands. That he has given us this land and given it over to us to inhabit. He has given this land over to us to pray for. He has given this land over to us to love the people that live in this area, as well as to share Christ with them. You see, it was by no mistake that we leased this land from the city back in 1991 for 99 years. It was by no mistake, you know, that some of us moved over from Knight Street that same year from the comfort, the safety of an established church, leaving behind friends and our fellowship in order to start a new church here in this place. In order to possess and to occupy this land in 1994. And it is by no mistake now that God, in his sovereignty, is bringing a community here to us. To us. He's not asking us to go very far, just across the street. You know, every day, when I walk to work, and I shouldn't be walking to work because I only live 2 minutes from here. I should be walking to work. I shouldn't be driving to work because I only live 2 minutes from here. I see this neighborhood changing. I see this neighborhood growing. I see many, many young couples moving in. I see many young families moving in. I see many retired couples moving into this place. You know, this is the land that the Lord has promised to us 24 years ago. You see, just a few chapters earlier from what was read in Joshua chapter 6, back in Joshua chapter 3, the people of God had just crossed over the Jordan River and into the land of Canaan. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the land of Canaan was the land flowing with milk and honey. This was the land that God had promised Abraham over 500 years ago. And so after leaving Egypt, after leaving the devastation and the slavery and the oppression from the Egyptians, and after spending 40 years wandering in the desert, The people of God have finally arrived. They've come to the place of the Lord's promise. And now the challenge for them was to take the land of Canaan. To take the land that God has promised to them and given over to his people. But the first barrier, the first obstacle that they faced after crossing the Jordan River was the city of Jericho. An impenetrable walled city. With a wall surrounding the city that was about 23 feet high and about 6 feet wide. And at the top of this wall was an earthen embankment, a slope that angled upwards at 35 degrees for another 35 feet, where it then joined another stone wall that towered even higher than that. It was an impenetrable wall. And the only way to invade the city was to either weaken the wall by putting fire to it, or by tunneling underneath it, or by building a large mound of dirt, sort of to act as a ramp to climb over it. But each of these options would involve a tremendous loss of life. And it would literally take weeks, if not months, in order to carry out. Now, two interesting things here. Two things here that are unique. First, it was God himself who had laid out the plan to conquer the city. God himself had laid out this plan to Joshua to conquer the city. And second, the plan to do so, well, it seemed so absolutely foolish to everyone. You see, God had told Joshua to have the people march around the wall silently for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, to march around it 7 times, and on the last time, to shout aloud together. And as foolish as that may sound, Joshua followed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord completely and wholeheartedly. So after marching around the city for 7 days, the people of God shouted as one voice, and the great and massive wall, the imposing and impenetrable wall, collapsed and fell over instantly. It crumbled to the ground. You see, God had already given the city of Jericho over to them, even before they marched around. It says in chapter 6, verse 2, what we read, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" And then later in verse 16, "The 7th time around, when the priests sound the trumpet blasts, Joshua commanded the army, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" The Lord has given you the city. The Lord has given them the city. Brothers and sisters, it was when the people of God, by faith, put their trust in the Lord and obeyed him that the wall of Jericho, this impenetrable wall, fell. And so what walls, what barriers, what obstacles are there preventing us from inheriting this land? From inheriting the people of this land that God has promised to us 24 years ago. You see, what the Lord asks of us is very simple. Obedience. Whether worship and obey him in all that we do, and he will fulfill his promises to his people. Let us do as he tells us to do. What has he asked of us? I was asking myself this question all week. What has the Lord asked of us? To put our hope, to put our faith in Him alone. Not on material things, not on things that we can see, not on things that we can plan and figure out and strategize by ourselves, not on what we can do. Dear brothers and sisters, I sense the Lord asking us to trust Him more, to pray to Him more as the people of God, not just to have our pastors and our elders lead us in prayer, but to have all of us pray together, to have all of us seek the Lord together. The story of Jericho is a story of the demonstration of the mysterious power of God. Let me say it again. The story of Jericho is the story of the demonstration of the mysterious power of God. It was foolish. It was silly. It was ridiculous for the Israelites to march around the city for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, to march around it 7 times. I mean, what kind of war tactic is that? What kind of military strategy is that? I'm sure the people inside the city were wondering, what in the world are these people doing? It makes no sense whatsoever, humanly speaking. It will not fly with most church boards. It will not fly with most leadership strategies on how to build the church, how to grow the church. But because God asked for it, and because God commanded it, they followed and obeyed, despite how utterly foolish it sounded. Now, as we march around our church today, let it be symbolic of us marching around our community. Let it be symbolic of us marching around the things that may hinder God's will from taking place in our church, in our city, and in our country. I do pray that when we march around and pray, that we do not pray for the walls of Fraserlands to fall down. Please, no one pray that prayer. If we know there are cameras around the church. The people of God were at war in this passage, in Joshua 6. And they sounded the battle cry by blowing the ram's horn, the shofar. This signified the start of war. Dear brothers and sisters, we are at war today. We're at war spiritually, as Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. And he goes on and lists all the various equipment, the spiritual armor. And then he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Whether it be private or public, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. God's word also says in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is God's promise to us. In 2 Chronicles, verse 7, 14, 16, It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers prayed, offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. This is God's promise. This is His promise to us as His people and as His church. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. Get ready to lead us in a song. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to fight by praying. Because that's where our power for life, that's where our power for ministry comes from. We need to fight by obeying even the seemingly foolish things that the Lord asks us to do. We need to fight by believing. Believing that the Lord will answer our prayers and will fulfill His promises to His people. God has given us this land. And He has called us to stand up and fight. To fight the forces of evil. To stand up and pray together as the people of God. For the Lord's purposes to be done in this place. As followers of Jesus, we're all at war. We're all involved in a spiritual battle. And we must all fight together. We must all ask of the Lord together as we pray for our church, our community, our city, our country, as well as other nations. Let's continue to worship our Lord.